Call the order of the San Jose County Board of Supervisors meeting. Everybody please rise to the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First thing on the agenda this morning is public comment period. I have one specific request to speak. Michael Garcia.
Mr. Chairman, Board of Supervisors, I come before you again with an idea about what the Board of Supervisors is supposed to do within the county. The type of arrogance and uncaring attitude that this board has had over the last 30 years that I've been coming before here is, to me, one of the things that really begins to make sense about why we're in the position we are right now in our community. If you go from Bluebell down to Kansas, over to Wade, to the Burbank area, to the Marshall area, you begin to see what I'm talking about. This is health and safety issues that we're talking about, the main issues that are thrust upon you. The decisions that you've made in the past, because it doesn't seem to have institutional memory here, have affected all our areas. The closing of Scenic Hospital is one of the main issues that you're in the predicament you're in right now. The allocation of $15 million, well, more than that, I think, in terms of staff, to the Gallo Center. $47 million in bonds floating. That this town has floated, that when it was originally put together, I came here and stated at that time that there was going to be problems with that center, in particular, similar to what had happened to the Center Plaza. Right now, the city is paying pretty close to $1 million debt service on that. How much debt service is the county going to be having during that period of time for this center? Because it is the county that is on the hook. It isn't the nonprofit. Because you, as board, floated those bonds. The whole Renaissance money, supposedly the tobacco funding, that instead of going into the health and services, were used for pet projects and different areas. Again, 40% of our septic tanks are failing in those areas. We're talking about groundwater that is being contaminated as we speak. The whole idea now that we're going to have safe Salida, that we're going to have the Crow's Landing, the whole idea of housing developers running amok within our county. If you go just down the road to Merced, if you just come up to San Joaquin, you can tell the difference in the freeway. Little Merced County gets almost as much money in transportation as we do. Why? And I will tell you again, it's because this board has lacked the vision to be able to address those problems. Maybe this new board, Mr. O'Brien, Mr. DeMartini, Mr. Monti, will be able to do something about that. But I have not seen it coming from the ones that have been here before. Thank you.
Is there any other member of the audience that wishes to address the board under public comment period?
My name is Doug Estes. I'm on Bergen Avenue in Modesto. And I came to talk about the county hospital that we don't have. I'd like to read this. And it seems that most of our lost revenue at the County Health Services Agency is due to not having a county hospital. Prior to closing Scenic General Hospital, the system was in the black. Without the hospital designation, many medical service rates have been reduced, and the county has lost funding for many programs. Currently, the county has a contract that seems cost-effective with Doctors Medical Center for Indigent Hospital Services. But what will the cost be when this contract expires? When the contract was negotiated, the county had a hospital as a bargaining chip. Now we don't. Now we're being forced to sell a mental health hospital because we don't have an acute care hospital. It looks like we'll get about $10 million for the sale, but pay about $10 million a year to treat our indigent mental health patients, plus, I think, $1 million for the jail patients, if I saw in the paper correctly. And plus, the sale will not recover any of the lost revenue for not having a county hospital. So instead of selling a mental health hospital, maybe we should look at converting it into a combined acute care mental health hospital. This would give us a hospital designation for increased reimbursement rates and allow us to receive grants funding for other county programs. Maybe it could be a small hospital, 10 to 40 beds, with contracts for other with other hospitals for additional needs. I think we're paying about $1 million for the jail inmate hospital services right now. I know the county has very competent staff, and they're doing a thorough job, but I haven't really seen anything in the paper about something like this, so I thought I'd just share my thoughts kind of outside the box. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment this morning? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. Is there any item that needs to come off, be pulled, for separate discussion or separate vote?
I'll move.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. The next thing on the agenda is a scheduled matter at 9:20, so I'm going to move down to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the budget for fiscal year 2007-08 for the East Side Mosquito Abatement District.
Refer to Auditor Controller.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the approval of Stanislaus County Consolidated Plan and Annual Action Plan.
Refer to Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a copy of the Oakdale Fire District 2007-08 fiscal budget and a letter requesting financial assistance for the county for their 2007-08 fiscal year.
Refer to Chief Executive Officer, the Auditor Controller, and the CEO, Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receiving the claims and refer to Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Now, since we have about 10 minutes to go, Mr. Chairman, I heard today that we received another summary judgment on the Latino lawsuit. Perhaps the county council could fill the board in.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, yesterday we received another favorable ruling by Judge O'Neill, the federal court judge that is overseeing the committee concerning community improvement versus the city of Modesto and the county of Stanislaus, referred to as the Latino lawsuit. The judge granted the county's third summary judgment motion dealing with issues on infrastructure. So eliminated all those issues dealing with sewers and anything dealing with the general area of infrastructure. So it's a very good ruling. And the court in its ruling said that the plaintiffs in the Latino lawsuit, as in the other summary judgment motions, have failed to show any evidence of discriminatory conduct on behalf of the county, the board, staff, or anyone else. And they specifically talked about the plaintiff's claims that certain neighborhoods were being discriminated against, and they concluded that the priority list that this board established in the early 90s and reinforced in 2004 was a valid priority list, and that the county, in the way they have dealt with those issues, have dealt with them in an appropriate, non-discriminatory manner in dealing with storm drain, sidewalk, curbs, and gutters. So there's only now remaining one last motion. That motion, summary judgment motion, has been filed with the courts, and we expect a ruling in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that will be the last motion, which, if granted, will dismiss this case in its entirety. I think it's important to note that at the very outset, when this lawsuit was filed, I was quoted in the Modesto Bee after reviewing the lawsuit saying that, in my opinion, this lawsuit had no merit. I maintain that position, and I think now that we've had the three summary judgment motions granted by the judge, and it's a very detailed 20-some-odd page ruling where he reviews very carefully all of the issues, all of the facts in the case, and all of the materials that have been processed through the discovery process that we and the county has provided. And again, I think this just supports the position that the board has taken some years ago when the lawsuit was filed. That is that we would vigorously defend. That was the charge the board gave to our office, and we have done so. And this case, looking back, it's just unfortunate, at least with the parts that have already been reviewed by the court, that this lawsuit was filed, because it's taken a substantial amount of county time, attorney cost and expense and time in defending this lawsuit. We said it had no merit at the outset, and up today, and including the judge's decision today, it has shown that the county was absolutely correct in defending this lawsuit, and this lawsuit is proven to be totally without merit.
Supervisor Grover.
I might just update a little bit, too, on the infrastructure that was put into the Robertson Road area by the county in cooperation with the city. And we spent a little less than $3 million over there, provided sewers for about 300 households. And to date, we've had just a little over 50 applications. I think they're in process with about 20 of them. And the important information that needs to continue to be out in that community is we have a window until March. And then the per-house connection fee for the city of Modesto is going to go up by about $4,000 per house. So I would have liked to have seen more people jumping in and taking advantage of the opportunity to hook up the sewer, but so far it's just been a moderate success.
And are there programs available for assistance?
There are many programs available, and they're being run through the Stanislaus County Housing Authority. So any questions should go directly there.
Wonderful. Any other board reports? Legislative Fiscal Management Report, Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, just a couple items. Now, first, an update on Assembly Bill 712, which I'll be bringing back to you at some point in the next week or two with a recommendation to oppose. This bill would establish an additional 50 cent per ton fee at the landfill that would benefit, it would be a state-administered fee that would be used to help comply with regulation reducing diesel particulate matter and criteria air pollutants for off-road diversion and landfill-related equipment. We feel it's just an unfair additional fee placed on the county and on the residents of the community, and we'll be bringing that back to you with a recommendation to oppose that bill. Secondly, the state budget is still hopelessly deadlocked. As you know, the Assembly passed their version out a couple of weeks ago. The Senate has moved very little, and not many fruitful discussions, to our knowledge, have occurred in the last couple of weeks. The 0708 payments are now being delayed due to the lack of a state budget, and right now we have operating capital to fund those critical programs. Social and health-related services are principally the ones that are affected in Stanislaus County, and we continue to operate at our normal, on a normal basis. Finally, on the federal level, I just wanted to touch once more on the funding request that our federal representatives have provided on our behalf, or STEMBA, and I had initially addressed this last week. I may have gotten the numbers mixed up, so just in case, I'm going to announce them again. For STEMBA in the Senate, Senator Feinstein earmarked $300,000, and that's her proposal on the Senate side. On the House side, Congressman Cardoza, $200,000 has been proposed. In interoperability on the Senate, $150,000 from Senator Feinstein for the benefit of the city of Modesto, and the House side, $375,000 for the county of Stanislaus, co-authored or recommended by Congressman Cardoza and Rudanovich. The two we're anticipating would be combined, so the overall benefit of about $500,000 to Stanislaus County and the city of Modesto in addressing interoperability issues.
Okay, we have a few minutes before the 9:20 public hearing. Do we have an estimate of how long closed session is today?
It'll be very brief close. Probably about 15 minutes or so.
15 minutes. Let's just take a quick 3-minute recess until 9:20. We'll now move to the 9:20 public hearing to consider adjustments of Stanislaus County franchise maximum rates for solid waste collection services.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien and members of the board. Tanya Herritfeld, Director of Environmental Resources. And with me this morning is Rhonda Long, Program Manager for the Solid Waste Division. Next slide, please. Today's presentation is going to include the proposed residential and commercial rate adjustments, a revision to the rate adjustment process, and a proposed bulky item curbside collection program. On June 26, 2007, the board approved an increase in the disposal fee at the Stanislaus Resource Recovery Facility, also known as the Waste Energy Plant, from $25 to $28. This increase has been incorporated into the proposed rate adjustment. In the unincorporated area of Stanislaus County, there's 25,426 residential subscribers who receive weekly service. In the proposed rate adjustments, 21% may see an increase of 0.6%, or may see a decrease of 0.6%. 47% may see a 0.7 increase. 26% of the customers may see a 5.7 increase, and 6% of the customers may see a 3.2 increase. The proposed rates for the franchise companies are as follows. We have the current rate for Bertolotti at 1978, the proposed rate at 1992, Jilton Solid Waste, current rate 1944, proposed rate 1933, Modesto Disposal or Waste Management, Inc., current rate 1960, proposed rate 2072, Turlock Scavenger, current rate 1924, proposed rate 1986. For the commercial rates, in the unincorporated area, we have 2,936 service subscribers. Of those, 22% will remain unchanged. 22% may see a 0.4% decrease. 23% may see a 5% decrease. 9% may see a 3.5% increase. 10% may see a 2% increase. And 14% may see a 5.4% increase. As far as our work on the rate adjustment process, we've been working with our consultant, and they are preparing a list of alternatives, examples of processes that are used in other jurisdictions for setting the rate adjustment. This report is due to our office in early August. After that, we will be conducting stakeholder meetings, and we will return to this board with recommendations for a target revised process date of 2008. I just wanted to show a few examples of the types of material that are placed out on the bulky item collection. Staff is also recommending that this board adopt a curbside bulky item collection program. One of the reasons why we are recommending the adoption is this is the one program that we receive the most requests for from individuals that call into our office or that we work with in the field. It is a convenient way for those who do not have transportation to get rid of their bulky items. It may reduce illegal dumping, and we will be tracking this. Should this program be implemented, we'll track that, and we'll bring that back to this board as a part of our annual report. The other is efficient. We get consolidated loads picked up as opposed to individual loads to either the transfer station or to the landfill. This is just a picture depicting the type of equipment that may be used in order to pick up the bulky item material on the street. How does this program work? What we're proposing is that, or this program only is for residential customers. This does include renters. And one of the upsides or downsides of the service is that if it is adopted, all the residential customers will pay for the service, whether the service is used or not. Multifamily units or ranches with bin service will not be eligible. Each residential customer must make an appointment. It's by appointment only. And we only accept collectible items. And this is not a substitute for regular garbage service. This program is also consistent with similar programs adopted by the City of Modesto, the City of Ceres, and the City of Patterson. The typical types of items that are acceptable are large appliances, water heaters, water softeners, toilets, sinks, tubs, couches, sofas, tables, chairs, dressers, mattresses, carpeting, rugs, exercise equipment, bicycles, barbecues, patio furniture. And one thing is, we do accept wood, but only on a limited amount, so 10 pieces or less. This program is not designed for construction debris. Unacceptable items include household garbage, automotive parts, tires, liquid waste, dirt, sod, yard waste, concrete, asphalt, glass, mirrors, televisions, computers, monitors, what we refer to as e-waste, construction and demolition debris, and hazardous materials. Those are not acceptable items. We do have alternatives for unacceptable items. We have the Household Hazardous Waste, e-waste, and universal program. It's located at Morgan Road, 1760 Morgan Road. It's open on Fridays and Saturdays from 9 to 1. Tires are taken at the transfer station, Golden Byproducts, and the Fink Road Landfill. Yard waste are also accepted at all the transfer stations and Fink Road Landfill. Concrete and asphalt, transfer stations, Modesto Sand and Gravel, K&D Enterprises. And if anyone has a particular type of material that they're not sure where they can get rid of it, you can always call our office, which is 525-6700. Here's another example of how the equipment works in picking up bulky items and the different types of bulky items that are set out. In order for this program to be successful, the customers, the county, and the franchise companies must all partner. The customer's responsibilities will be not to place items out for collection without an appointment, not to place items out for a collection earlier than 6 p.m. on the evening prior to the appointment, not to place unacceptable items out for collection, and limit the volume to 6x6x6, or an average size car. Another example, next. The county's responsibility. It will be the county's responsibility to provide guidelines to all the residents in the unincorporated area, to advertise this program, respond promptly to questions and complaints, and enforce the program guidelines. Next slide. The franchise company's responsibilities will be to confirm an appointment within 2 weeks when a collection is requested, maintain and regularly submit logs of all requests and results, document all setouts not collected or not completely collected. What this program will cost is $1.50 per month per customer, or $18 a year. If the proposed basic rates are adopted with the bulky item program, Bertolotti's rates will go from 1992 to 2142. Jilton Solid Waste will go from 1933 to 2083. Modesto Disposal or Waste Management Inc. will go from 2072 to 2222. Turlock Scavenger will go from $19.86 to $21.36. Staff has two recommendations in this proposal. We're recommending that the board adopt the rate adjustments We're also recommending that the board adopt the bulky item program. You can adopt the program, recommendation one is to adopt the program in its entirety. Recommendation two is to adopt the program with a limitation of a one-year subset. And in both cases, we will be coming back to the board with a report on the bulky item collection program. And at this time, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions of staff?
First of all, I want to commend you for listening to the requests of people in the unincorporated area. There's no question in my mind that if people use it, the $18 per year is a pretty reasonable sum. As you and I have discussed before, I'm a great believer that since we are not sure as to what percentage of people that will be using this service, that I would like to see a sunset, so then we know if people are actually using the service, because if it works, it's great. If people aren't using it, then why add the $1.50 if they aren't using it? So I want to commend you. This would give the people an opportunity and let us know if they will use the service. If they use the service, I believe that it addresses many challenges that we have. I'm in favor of it. I just am a little more cautious in making sure that people will be using this service so that we aren't adding additional costs for a service that people aren't going to use it. So I want to commend you once again, but I am in full agreement with the one-year sunset.
Any other questions before I open for public hearing? At this point, I'll open this for a public hearing. Anybody wishing to comment on this agenda item may do so.
What's your question?
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, Supervisors. My name is Bob Schmoll. I believe you all have a letter from Chief Wasden and myself in front of you from the Steering Committee from the Latency. So I'll just quickly run through it and just make a couple comments. Dear Supervisors, on July 31st, 2007, you will be considering an important change to the garbage service for residents of the unincorporated areas of Stanislaus County. The Paradise South Weed and Seed Steering Committee would like to express support for the bulky item curbside collection program and ask the board to accept the establishment of this service. Paradise South residents who live in the county unincorporated areas have long stated their desire for a bulky item pickup so they may easily dispose of those large items that they would otherwise have to haul away. The program provides county residents with a needed resource that their city neighbors have enjoyed for several years. The bulky item curbside collection program advances our weed and seed efforts to reduce blight and improve services in the Paradise South neighborhood. Your acceptance of this service would bring us another step closer to restoring the Paradise South neighborhood. Signed, Roy Wasden, Chief of Police, Bob Schmoll, Resident Vice Chair. I would just simply add a couple comments to what we've learned in the Weed and Seed, and having been a resident in the county unincorporated island of the Southwest Modesto for the last 11 years. Back in 1999, 2000, 2001, the county of Stanislaus and the city of Modesto and as many as 600 volunteers would do neighborhood cleanups during that period of time, in which we hauled away eventually 750 tons of debris and garbage during those three major cleanups. We came back to the area a couple years ago, did a neighborhood cleanup in a very small area, and once again hauled away over 100 tons of debris. If the residents don't have the opportunity to have bulky item pickup, and many don't have the transportation or the pickups to go to the dump, the stuff just builds. The other recommendation I would have to the board would be, too, One, an expansion of the base program that we are successfully using in the Weed and Seed, which is volunteers assisting code enforcement. Because this body will never have the funds to fund 55 code enforcement agents for the county of Stanislaus, and thus using volunteers as we do in the Southwest, we're beginning to see results that I think everybody in the county and the city would like to see. And the second thing would be doubling or tripling the fee for illegal dumping, just to bring it home that it's no longer acceptable. So I thank you very much for having to listen to me, and I hope you vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this agenda item? Morning.
Hi, my name is Carmen Martinez, and Supervisor Jensen Martini, and to the staff here. I think this is a very good direction that I hope will follow. And the reason I say that is because, again, the elderly people or the people who have no transportation will call someone to come and pick up their trash. They'll take this trash and put it in some community. And therefore, we have more trash, and the elderly people or the people with no transportation have paid a good amount. And $1.50 versus what they're paying is really nothing. So I do hope that this does pass. I thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comment? At this point, we'll close it. Oh, yes, sir.
My name is William Rossi. I live at 3818 Roberts Road between Sherry's and Troy. I have a couple of ranchers out there, and I think what you guys are doing is a pretty good idea, but I do think it should be on an individual basis. A lot of guys have ways of taking the refrigerators and stuff to the recycle centers, and they're doing that. And since you have to call in and schedule this anyway, then I think you should just be billed as you use it. Now, there's a lot of people who don't have a pickup or don't have ways of doing that, and I think this would be a good idea. But the real problem is the illegal dumpers. These people don't have any garbage service. So you're asking everybody to kind of subsidize, I think, the illegal dumpers. And if you live out in the country, you see it all the time. If a guy's going to put a refrigerator in the back of a pickup and drive a quarter of a mile to the county to dump it, why doesn't he go to the recycle center? Because they don't care. And I think what you need to do is charge the people for the service if they're going to use this, but I think you need to increase the fines. And some of these areas, like the overpass at Fayetteville Road, this habitual dumping area, should be monitored or something and get these fines increased, and let's start getting the criminals that are doing this stuff. I mean, they're making a mess of our county. And I really think what's going to happen here is they're going to put this in one way or the other, but I think that second option of reviewing it, but I don't think they're going to stop the illegal dumpers. These are people that don't have any garbage service. I have a rental unit. The renters used to just put the stuff in the plastic bags for a month or so, and then once in a while they go to the dump. And they just don't have any service. So you're going to be having people pay for a service that people aren't even going to use that don't even have the service. And I think they're kind of getting the cart before the horse. I think we really need to go after the illegal dumpers and then have a program that where a guy can call into his garbage service, and maybe they charge so much an item. A person may only need to use this once every 5 years if the refrigerator goes bad and they don't have a way of getting it to the recycle center. You know, we got a lot of recycle centers now. The one on Kansas takes TVs and stuff, and they'll pay you for it. The one on 9th Street takes your refrigerators, your washers, your dryers, and all that. We just need to get it to where you're not charging the average person that isn't going to use it. They either have their own means or they don't need it. So I think you need to reconsider the way you're going to charge everybody, I think it should just be on a per item basis with the individuals. The individuals that need it, they call in, they schedule with their garbage service, and then they're charged maybe on a per item basis or so many cubic feet or whatever. And then get after the illegal dumpers.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comment? We'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. Any comments or motions?
Motion.
Deputy Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the pictures that was shown by Environmental Resources looks like the kind of garbage that's been dumped out of my walnut orchards. So I'm very familiar with the problem. The bulk item pickup is the most requested thing that we've been asked for in garbage service. Areas of the county, like my own, that have large unincorporated rural areas, and then I have four unincorporated towns, and plus the tracts of Monterey Park Track in Riverdale, really need something like this. It's something that I think will benefit them. So we did a bulk item pickup rally cleanup in South Modesto in the park lawn area just a few weeks ago, where we hauled away about 85 tons of trash. People in these areas, a lot of them don't have a way of disposing this stuff. So it builds up in the alleys, it builds up in their house. Some of it winds up alongside the road, but a lot of it doesn't because they don't have vehicles to haul it away. So I'm in favor of this, and I think that we should do it on an ongoing basis. And the reason I say that is because of the cost of the garbage haulers in buying the equipment in order to take care of this. If we just did it on a temporary basis, I think we'd be limping along for the first year. I think it's better to just make a commitment to this and just allow them to buy the equipment. And of course, we should monitor it. But this bulk item pickup has been used in two of the three cities that I have, in Patterson and in Ceres. And I know it's used in Modesto, too, which is not in my area. It is something that works for them, and it will work in the unincorporated areas, too. So I would be in favor of adopting recommendation one and to do the bulk item pickup on an ongoing basis with the appropriate monitoring.
Supervisor Grover?
Thank you. This is something we've been working on for the 5 years that I've been here, at least. I want to thank the staff for being responsive to the needs. In addition to moving along our rate schedule in a manner that is more understandable. So thanks for doing that. I think that we would possibly be short-sighted if we put only a 10-month window on this before we evaluate it. Talking at length with our colleagues from the city of Modesto, they instituted a program similar to this at about the same rate, $1.50, and made a full-scale commitment to it, bought the appropriate equipment, and currently they're charging in the 65 cents range rather than the $1.50 just because of the efficiencies that they achieved. I think if it's a service that's available, even the folks in the rural area that have appropriate vehicles and that sort of thing to haul, when they evaluate the time savings they're going to have, the fuel savings they're going to have, and the fact that they're not going to have to make a $10 contribution or more at the transfer station, it's really going to enhance the service that's available. So I would not be in favor of the one-year trial period. I think we need to make a commitment to it and get on about being efficient with our service. But other than that, the maximum rate program, I'm in agreement with also.
I've had very strong concerns, actually, about what a gentleman said, is hey, you're going to charge people who aren't going to use the service. And I've been reluctant in previous years when I was with the city of Riverbank to initiate a program for that very concern. However, illegal dumping has become a serious, serious problem that our county is facing. This isn't going to solve the illegal dumping problem, but I think it's another tool to help it's going to take a lot of solutions to overcome the illegal dumping. So I am in favor of putting this program in place. However, I do want to take another look a year from now just to see what kind of response we're getting, to make sure that it is working right. And at that point, I wouldn't have a time to make it ongoing. And that's my personal opinion. Supervisor Monti?
I'm the one who requested that we do a sunset of 1 year. In fact, when we first started discussing, I suggested 2 years to give more of a chance to make the evaluation. And then those that provide the service came back and said they prefer that we have a 1 year because they believe that they could address and handle the service for 1 year, whereas for 2 years they would have to make a full commitment and expenditures of equipment. And in 1 year they could get a window of opportunity to make an evaluation without making that expenditure. So that's why I said, okay, 1 year is fine, because I think it's prudent that we, although I am in agreement with this program completely, we do not know the percentage of people who would participate. And this way, it was giving the county or the people of Stanislaus County an opportunity to see if they wanted to use this program. At the same time, it was protecting those who are providing the service and not having to make huge expenditures. So that is why I was pursuing the sunset, which I still believe to be the best approach, and we're all entitled to our opinion, but that is why I suggested that.
Ready for a motion?
I make a motion we accept number 2.
Motion on the table to accept recommendation number 2. Is there a second? I will second. The motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No, you didn't, sir.
I'll go with the sunset. But to come back in a year and find out if this is working or not.
Okay, so let's clarify that vote. It's recommendation number 2. The ayes are Supervisor Monteith, Mayfield, and myself. It passes 3-2. And, just to bring back in a year for the report, and at that point with the recommendation to go forward if the results are favorable.
Yeah, we will have to be back in the spring with our report in order to have some direction and preparation for our proposed rate adjustments for the following year. So,
very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to 925, public hearing to consider approval of 2007-2008 annual assessments for many county service areas, as well as landscape and lighting districts.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. I'm Matt Machado, Public Works Director, and with me today is David Guine from Public Works. David will be presenting an item on our annual assessments for our special districts. David?
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien and Board Members. I'm with Stanislaus County Department of Public Works, as my director Matt just said. I'm with Engineering Services Division. This public hearing is for the purpose of receiving comments regarding the fiscal year 2007-2008 assessment for the various county service areas and landscape and lighting districts that are administrated by Public Works. The county service areas included in this public hearing are numbers 4 through 14 and 16 through 25. The landscape and lighting districts included in this public hearing are the Riverdale, Riverview, and Shackleford districts. Of the proposed assessments, 14 would remain the same as last year's assessment. 7 would be reduced this year. 1 would be increased, and 2 would be a first-time annual assessment on individual parcels in the subdivision that comprises the district. The one special district that would have the assessment increase has an approved method to calculate the annual assessment, and therefore no ballot procedure is required. Therefore, the proposed assessments for all 24 special districts are in conformance with Proposition 218. Staff requests that anyone wishing to speak please indicate which special district that they would want to comment on. Do the chairman and members of the board have any questions regarding the county service area and and landscape and lighting district engineers' reports before you open the public hearing?
Please restate that last before we open the public hearing.
Do the chairman and members of the board have any questions regarding the county service area and landscape and lighting district engineers' reports before we open the hearing?
Are there any questions of staff? At this point, I will open the public hearing and ask if anybody wishes to comment on this to do so now. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. Any further comments, or are we ready for a motion?
I'd like to move approval of two staff recommendations.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Supervisor Grover, second by Supervisor Mayfield. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next is a 9:30 public hearing. This is a public hearing to consider approval of the sale of Stanford Behavioral Health Center. The Chief Executive Office has requested this hearing to be rescheduled to August 21st, 2007 at 6:55. Since this was a posted public hearing, I am going to ask if anybody wishes to make a comment. And seeing no one, I would like this board to approve the rescheduled August 21st, 2007 at 6:55.
Also moved.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Brings us to the end of our agenda. We do have a closed session.
Mr. Chairman, the board, there are one item closed session, conference of legal counsel, existing litigation, Morgan Sullivan Voters versus County of Stanislaus, Superior Court case number 612057, Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, anticipate no announcement.
At this point, we'll adjourn the closed session.